Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It is Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 18th, 2012, episode 407, and this episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, Jamie, when you were in high school, did you go to the high school dances, or were you one of those horse girls that never went to the high school dances?
I did go to some high school dances, yes.
When we were growing up at the advanced age we are, going to high school dances, and anybody at our advanced age or older will appreciate this, there was only one type of music that was being played at high school dances in the 70s, and we all know what that was. That was disco. That's all you got. That's all there was. That's what was being played. And I guess it's like the rap of today during the 70s. And the queen of disco was Donna Summer, and she died yesterday at the age of 63. And let me tell you, when I listen back, I put a little medley together for all those people who are my age or older. You probably hate disco because everybody that's younger than us hates it. I think most of us hate it too, to be honest with you.
Let me jump in there. One of my favorite shows is Glee. I watch Glee every week. I DVR and watch it. And
really?
they did a whole episode on disco. And the first thing they said was, "We have to do disco. Disco sucks." And I agreed. And I hated the episode. I didn't even like my friends in Glee singing disco music. It was awful. I fast forwarded through all the songs.
I got to tell you, though, I sort of agree. We don't listen to much disco today. But when I listened back, when I saw Donna Summer died, when I listened back, they must have played 20 Donna Summer songs in every high school dance because they were songs you could dance to and everybody knew the words to. And I'll give you some examples right now. Played that 12 times at every game. And then one of the things she was known for is coming up, she was known in her live concerts for holding notes for like 30 seconds. Here's one.
Let it fill you up.
My guess is, Jamie, she was not a smoker. She would have not been able to hold those notes as long as she did. A little Donna Summer.
Well, excuse me, I'll wake up right now. What just happened? God rest her soul. No disrespect.
To be honest, yeah. I hadn't thought about Donna Summer in like 30 years. So.
I did when I heard I watched that episode of Glee. That's the only time I'm like, man, this music stinks. No disrespect to Donna Summer. God rest your soul. We're really sad for your family and everybody. But whew, that was painful. No more disco on the show ever. Can that be the end of it?
That's it. Oh, crap. You know what I forgot? Uh-oh.
Oh, Jennifer? You're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Let
me just do this to myself. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we open with Laura Levine of Southern States with a clever contest for Foal fans. And Jason from Field Guardian Fence Systems brings us fence chargers for dummies, complete with some awesome don't do this tips. And, of course, really bad ads wraps the week. So stay tuned, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Don't forget the chat room is open. You can get there by going to blogtalkradio.com and clicking on room down below there. Also, I posted a link to it on Facebook already on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning if you'd like to join in over at the chat room while the show is going on. Now it's time. And my daily weenie goes out to Rhonda, our friend in Canada, who posted on our Facebook page yesterday, does anyone else do yoga with their horse? My horse's massage therapist suggested it. And I know that people are starting to do yoga with their horse. I don't know of anybody that does personally, but if you do, post on our Facebook page and let Rhonda know if you're doing yoga with your horse. Have you done yoga with your horse? No, you wouldn't do yoga with your horse. He'd buck you off.
I do the little stretches with him. You know, after he gets ridden, I take the carrot and I make him reach around to each hip and then underneath his front legs and then up high. But that's about it. So, you know what, if you can find somebody that does, like, horsey yoga, you know, like, as a teacher, we would love to talk to them. That would be an awesome interview.
Yeah, that'd probably be good, yeah. And I would imagine draft horses would be great for yoga. If you're doing yoga on the horse, you got a lot of area.
Yeah. I don't think that's the yoga.
Oh, all right, here we go.
I have two daily winnies, and one is going to go out to Mark Todd. Mark Todd is a rider for New Zealand. He retired, then he decided, you know what, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be in the Olympics, and he's come back. And he's got a pretty big challenge this weekend. He needs to qualify for the Olympics, and the only way that he can qualify for the Olympics is to take his horse named Grass Valley and get a qualifying ride for him this weekend. He's over in New Zealand competing, and so he needs to get no more than 20 cross-country penalties and no more than 16 show jumping penalties. To a rider like Mark Todd, that should be pretty easy, but you just never know. So I just wanted to wish, you know, I've got mixed emotions. Like, riding against Mark Todd would be really difficult, but watching Mark Todd ride is very fun. So it's like in the Olympics, you kind of want him to do it, but you kind of don't. Like, I wanted the American riders to win, and competing against Mark Todd is challenging. But it just to have him in this kind of situation just shows what kind of we'll see what his medal is, you know, at the end of the weekend. So good luck to Mark Todd.
You know, if that shows how deep the Kiwi team must be, if he has, you know, if he's still qualifying, they must have a pretty good team they're putting together this year.
Yeah, they're going to be great.
Cool,
and
you have a second one. Yeah, okay.
My next daily Winnie goes out to a woman named Abby Gibbon, and she is a writer for HorseNation.com. And I'm just going to read her short article because she is going to attend the Preakness this weekend. Go ahead and play it. Just if you're ready, I'm going to talk about it. Go ahead.
Gag and sis. Half horse, half man.
Here's her article. I'm fairly concerned as I prepare to attend my first ever Preakness Stakes this weekend that Kegasus embodies everything I find mildly distasteful about humanity.
Hey!
Kegasus. Kegasus, whom the Baltimore... Let me read. Kegasus, whom the Baltimore Sun has described as a party guy on top and a horse who also likes to party on bottom, is the mascot of the Preakness Infield Fest for the second year running, wherein he'll likely preside over the annual unsanctioned Porto Potty race, further sullying the reputation of centaurs everywhere. So basically, thank procrastination that I've managed to procure nosebleed grandstand seats, from whence I'll look upon the writhing multitudes in shame when not golf-clapping an ant-sized Bodemeister to a whizzing multi-length win. That said, I'm the type of gal who can never seem to avoid running into persons or things she'd most likely to avoid, so I'll probably be making awkward eye contact with Kegasus all weekend. Your thoughts, Horse Nation? Absurd or awesome, man or horse, relevant to horse racing or totally irrelevant? And then I would like to point out that the comments that were listed below, it is a shame that a horse's body is involved in the Preakness Infield Booze Fest, especially as part of a mascot. But the revelers are doing a good job of mimicking a horse's ass.
It's a horse race. What are you going to have? What are you going to have? A camel? But
no, how about a horse? Whatever. Anyway, by Abby Gibbon, fantastic article, well written, my friend.
Abby, this is what I have to say.
This is your last day, my friend.
I think it's yeah.
Go Kegasus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Fantastic.
Speaking of the Preakness, I have some. You want to hear some statistics from the Preakness? We haven't done that yet this year, so let me give you some statistics here. The Preakness has been run at 7 different distances. It started in 1873, and it wasn't until 1925 that they settled on a mile and 3/16. It had been anywhere from a mile to a mile and a half. A mile and an eighth. They tried all different distances, but it was in 1925 till now that they've settled on that distance. The largest Preakness crowd was 104,000 in 2001, which is believed to be the largest ever for any sporting event in Maryland history. We're looking at a large crowd this year, apparently, thanks to Kegasus. The leading Preakness winning jockeys are Eddie Arcaro has won 6 Preaknesses, including 2 consecutive wins in 50 and 51. Listen to some of the horses he won the Preakness on. We have Whirl Away in 41, Citation in 48, Hill Prince in 50, Bold in 51, Nashua in 55, and Bold Ruler in 57. Citation, Bold Ruler, I mean, Whirl Away. Oh, my God. What a career Eddie Arcaro had.
Oh, my God, he's amazing. 2 Triple Crown winners in that. Oh, my gosh, just incredible.
I know. And then, of course, Pat Day, who had 3 consecutive wins in 94, 95, and 96. That was Pat Day. The leading Preakness winning trainers are people we never heard of before, with one exception, I think. We have Robert Walden, who won 7. I don't know that name. He must have been older. Thomas Healy, 5. Dwayne Lucas, 5. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons at 4, and H.A. Jimmy Jones at 4. Camelot Farm is both the leading breeder and owner of Preakness winners with 7 each. So Camelot is still holding that record. 9 Preakness winners have
Camelot?
Sired. I always do that. Calumet.
Thank you. I'm like, no. I'm
I always
sure
do
that.
I don't know why I always do that. Calumet. The winningest post position, and I don't know if you can get to the list of the post positions. We can see who are in these positions if you can get to it quick. I know it was in yesterday's show notes. So the winningest post position is number six, with 14 winners since 1909. So who's in number six?
I'm still looking. Hold on. Sorry, I took the long way around it.
Oh, you know this is number six, if I remember right? Creative Cause. I'm pretty
and here, I'll find it right now. Sorry, I took my time.
I think it was Creative Cause, actually, who was in number
okay,
six.
Okay, number six. Yes, you're right. Creative Cause was number six, and that's the biggest winning number?
Yep, winningest post position is number six. The second is number four with 12 wins.
That's Zetterholm. That's who Jen and I picked because if we pick them, they lose. That's Rick Detrow's horse.
Okay, and then tied for third are number two and number three.
Number two is Teeth of the Dog. Number three is Pretension.
And the worst starting position, I almost said pole position, the worst starting position is number one.
Number one, Tiger Walk. Tiger Walk. Yeah, nobody likes that one spot on a shorter race like this. They got to really run fast.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's some. I have some more of this for you. We'll get to after our guest. Why don't you take our guest?
Oh, and Laura's here. Okay, well, everybody, please welcome to the show. We have Laura Levine. She is with Southern States. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Now, I must let everybody know that Laura is a friend of mine, lives in Lexington, Kentucky, and she and her significant other, Jack, are some of my favorite people in the world. So I got to start off that I got an email from you about this, and I just had to have you on the show to talk about it. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Enjoying the spring here in Kentucky, as you can imagine. And, of course, all the racing excitement and all the horse shows are starting up at the horse park.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, you have a sweet little daughter, and she rides, right?
Yes. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I also have a 13-year-old son who has sort of grown out of the horse thing for the time being. But my daughter does ride. We have a pony. Not a lot of competition going on just yet, which is probably a relief.
Yes, that is. But Glenn, why don't you go ahead and tell Laura what she needs to tell her 13-year-old son? Because you have a very specific thing for young boys.
Oh, yes.
Have some knowledge.
He's getting to that age now where he's starting to notice girls. Has he done that yet, or?
Just barely, and I think he's afraid that I'm going to notice that he has noticed girls.
Okay, well, when you got another year, and then he won't be hiding that anymore. So after he's not hiding that anymore, explain to him that if he wants to pick up girls, the best place to do it is in Pony Club. He needs to join Pony Club because he will be one. There'll be 25 girls for every one guy, and he girls just love little boys who play with horses. So he can just have his pick. You just line them up and point.
That's excellent advice.
Right there. Yeah, that's
you're right.
I had
too. You're absolutely
myself
right.
When I was a teenager.
Great advice.
Yeah. Of course, most people would like their children to stay away from the other sex. So probably, keep them away from Pony Club as a mom.
that's right. So, as long as I can, right?
Exactly. Good luck. So, Laura, tell us about Southern States and the contest that's going on right now, because I went and looked it up on Facebook, and oh, my gosh, this, you guys, listeners, you have to go check this out, because there's nothing we like more than photos of baby horses, baby animals, baby horses, whatever. This is the cutest collection of baby pictures ever.
I totally agree with you, Jamie. I absolutely love, well, again, this time of year with all the babies that are on the ground everywhere and, they're frolicking and running and chasing each other, and it's difficult to capture that in a photo, or sometimes they're quietly relaxing in the shade or the sun, but the people who have entered this contest have just captured every imaginable, fall personality you could ever want, and it is just such a pleasure to get on there and see all the entries. And the contest is called the Falls for Love Photo Contest, and it's been held for about the last 5 years. And prior to this year, it was just done via the mail. So this is the first year they've run the contest through the Facebook page, and I think, you know, the response has been tremendous. And although the photo entries are all in at this point, we're going to do this again next May so people can enter next May, but we are now in the voting stage. So what we're looking for is people to visit us, go to our Facebook page, view the photos and vote, and share them with their family and friends. And really the best way to do that is just to go to our website, which is southernstates.com, and you'll see it right up there front and center, ways to connect with us, and there's a Facebook icon right up there in the corner. And actually the voting is open until May 25th, so that's through next week, so hopefully over the weekend people can get on there or during the week. Only on your lunch hour, people. Get on Facebook and vote for your favorite photos. We all know that's true, right?
Yeah, exactly. You lie. We will all sit there during work. Now, how many photos did you guys have? Because I'm going through them, and there's just so many.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good question, actually. I'd probably have to ask our marketing people. I don't know how many, but you're right. I was on there and just kind of briefly getting through them, trying to just pick out my favorite, and I couldn't even do it. I mean, I'm going to have to get on there and spend like an hour at least. I think there's hundreds.
I have a question. I can't find the pictures. I'm on your page, and I see the Folds for Love big thing at the top, but now that Facebook has totally made it the most confusing place on earth, where are the pictures?
Well, let me see. Let me go there with you.
Jamie, are you fine? You found them, obviously.
Yeah. In the go to Southern States, their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Are you on? And then at the top, the banner, like there's that big giant picture, says Folds for Love Spring Photo Contest. Underneath that, there's like four little pictures, and one of them is like that.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
He's a man, Laura. He's a man, you know.
I clicked on the big one at the top, and of course that just takes you to the big one at the top. It doesn't really.
Yeah.
You know what my mama would say, Glenn? Is my mom would say, if it's a snake, it would have bitten you.
That's true, right? That's okay, Glenn. We understand.
Well, the other thing too is. You have to like their page to see the entries. That's the other thing. You can't see it if you don't like it.
That's true. If you can get on there and like our page and take a look at, you know, some of the other things. We run some industry news on there. You know, we have newsletters. You can sign up for equine news and equine information. That's actually where this contest got most of its legs, is no pun intended, was, you know, through our newsletter outreach. So. Feel free to sign up for that and like us on Facebook. And there's all other ways to connect with us on there. We're the company's very big about connecting locally with all of our customers.
I do have to tell you, Laura, I went on and I voted for Buster, who is a little mini like paint foal that is galloping and is in like full stretch run mode. So I had to vote for him. Can you vote for more than one?
I believe you can because, that may not be the case. What it is there's three different levels, and so I believe you'll win. There's a first, second, and third place. So there may be a place on there where you can actually, I haven't voted yet, where you can actually vote for more than one, or it may just be whoever gets the most wins the first place prize, which is a $300 gift certificate, and then it goes on from there.
So,
People have to get on there and sort of play around and see what they can find out.
Okay, so first place, I did just vote for another one, so I guess you can.
I think they're going to tally those by how many get the most.
Gotcha. The grand prize winner will receive a $300 Southern States gift card, and that, in this economy, not to keep bringing the harping on the economy, but that's wonderful to have to help with the feed bill. So
absolutely. That's
nice.
A lot of horse feed.
It sure is. It sure is. It's, you know, at least a week at my house. Exactly.
Yeah.
Second place, $200. Third place, $100. And they will be in gift cards, and you can also use them online. So it's a great idea, great pictures. Glenn, did you see the mini donkey?
No, I just voted for Tana Kay's there, and it was also a little pink filly. I'll tell you what. I'm not a big paint guy, but when you see paint babies, they are so darn cute.
Oh, they are cute.
Oh.
They are cute. Yeah, I think there's one called Phil W. That's not a paint. It's a, like, it looks like a mini mule or a donkey. It's adorable. That's probably one of my favorites that I saw so far. It's
true.
I have to admit.
Oh, the mini donkey.
Yeah,
now,
really,
here's what happened. Oh, Todd the mini donkey. Holy moly. I got to vote for him, too. Let's see if they'll let me vote three times.
Well, thank goodness nobody has to sit down and actually judge them. It's just going to come from your Facebook input. So thank goodness for that, because I don't know who could ever choose between just to pick just one.
No, you can't. So, you guys, it's just going to be very entertaining and fun for you to do when you're sitting at the office. And you don't have to do it on your lunch break. We fully encourage, Laura, here on Horses in the Morning, the least amount of work you can get away with in a day. That's what we're all about.
Well, why do you think I'm staying on the phone with you this long, right?
Exactly. Well, listen, are you guys going to the Preakness or the Belmont?
No, I'm staying in Kentucky for the Preakness. I'm gonna go watch it. I'm gonna probably maybe go to the betting windows a couple of times, but for now I'm just gonna watch it here. I think it's really tough to go away from Bodemeister, you know, after his performance in the Derby where he just barely got beat by I'll Have Another. And you know, I feel like with a shorter distance, it's a 16th of a mile shorter, and he's in a great position. I think he's one of the few speed horses, and as long as he doesn't get pressed too hard, I think he can probably win the Preakness. I think I'll Have Another. He'll be close. I think he'll be up there, but I just don't know if you know he's going to have the ability to get up there and stay with Bodemeister, and he's not going to have a chance probably to come with a late kick. So if those two hook up, then you might see it open up for some of those other late runners that are in the field.
All right, let me just remind you of something.
I'll Have Another takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll Have Another wins the Derby.
Just remind you.
That was his pick, obviously, Laura.
I'm never
going to hear the end.
Congratulations. I'm impressed, I have to say. He was off my radar for sure. I think
so,
we'll see.
Laura,
we'll be strong.
The only reason he picked him was from the name, so don't congratulate him too much.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of celebrating with another and another and another.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. Well, Laura, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and everybody please go to southernstates.com or go to Facebook and just type in Southern States, search for it, and you can find the button there to go and vote for these unbelievably cute babies. I mean, come on, they're baby foals. Who doesn't want to waste time looking at those? It's perfect. So like it and go out there and vote. And thank you so much, Laura. Keep us posted on the winner and let us know.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, and I really appreciate the time today.
Hey, Laura.
Sounds good. Tell Jack I said hi. Oh, go ahead.
And
Hold on one second.
I think Jennifer needed to talk to you, too. I'll just put you on hold.
No problem.
Thanks,
okay, you guys have a great morning.
Bye.
I'm stuck looking at these babies.
I know. It's that's why I had to have her on. I was like, I just spent 45 minutes looking at other people's foals. And it's the middle of the day. I could be doing something, but you just can't. You get sucked in. So you just have to have to go and which one?
I just found Priscilla the mini mule. Oh, my God. That is the cutest thing ever.
I haven't seen Priscilla. I can find another mini mule.
I just voted Priscilla the mini mule. That is so cute. Hey, we got a lot of name suggestions yesterday on Facebook for the mini of Robbins. They had a lot of name suggestions. She should have ideas. Thumper was a good one. He kind of looks like a thumper. I thought that was good.
I do vote for Aubrey's Bogo, buy one, get one, because that was my favorite name of the whole thing. I mean, it's the perfect name.
That is good. Yeah, that was pretty good, too, I got to say. There's a lot of cute ones on here. All right, let's do the commercial, and then we'll continue with the show.
Sounds good. Well, the one thing horse people look for in a supplement is a safe, reliable product that will address the challenges facing their horse. The employees at Kentucky Performance Products couldn't agree more. And in fact, of course, they feed Kentucky Performance Products supplements to their own horses. And one of the products to look for is Endure Extra. Endure Extra is a high-fat, low-carb energy source recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen to maintain optimal energy levels for your competition horses and to increase weight gain in poor doers. More than just a fat supplement, Endure Extra also provides much-needed natural vitamin E to protect muscles and increase immunity levels. So added gut conditioners stimulate the appetite and maintain a healthy digestive tract. And you can provide all these benefits to your horse with as little as 8 ounces a day. So you're not having to shove down four pounds of powder into their mouth. No, just 8 ounces a day. So to choose the right KPP supplement for your horse, you can go to KPP USA or give them a call. If you call these guys at Kentucky Performance Products and just describe to them what your horse's situation is, what your horse is, they will go through the line and pick the perfect supplement for you. Call 1-800-772-1988 to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts at KPP. You can also join their Facebook page, kppusa.com, 1-800-772-1988.
Thank you, Jamie. We're going to continue our fencing series that we've been doing with Field Guardian Fencing. This is part three. Today we talk about chargers and also grounding rods and how important they are and what types of chargers you should be using in different situations when you have electric tape or fencing. And we're going to get to that. If you missed the first two parts of this series, just go over to horsetipdaily.com. They're also over there. You can find them real easy over there. So this is part three of the fencing series, and we're going to be back with Really Bad Ads. I'm Glenn the Geek back with you with Coach Jen in our third part of the series on fencing.
Hi, everybody.
And if you missed the first two parts, please do listen back to the show, and best place to go for that would probably be Horse Tip Daily, and you'll find the last couple of episodes. We're running them right in a row.
Go to my show. Yeah,
horsetipdaily.com. You'll find the previous episodes. It's easier to find there than Horses in the Morning. So now we've covered already what types of products. We covered why we chose Field Guardian Fencing Systems at fieldguardian.com for our company. And we have Jason on, who's the owner of the company and has been with us the last couple of segments. Today, Jason, we've talked about layout, we've talked about poly rope and poly tape and where all those apply, the types of posts. We've gone over all of that in the previous segments. What we haven't talked about is making this fence hot. Obviously, it's a hot wire fence. We need, whether it's tape or rope or wire, it needs to be hot. So let's talk a little bit about chargers. There's multiple different kinds of chargers. There's electric and there's solar and all that. Can you just go through the options that people have and what questions they have and what you're finding?
There are three main different types of chargers. Basically, they come down to where the energy comes from. We have what we call main chargers that run off 110 volt. You have plug-in-the-wall power. You have a battery energizer that runs off a 12-volt DC battery. Or you have a solar charger that actually uses a solar panel to recharge a 12-volt battery. And those are three main options that pretty much every charger will fall into. And then depending on the application that they have, we recommend which way to go. Most often, if you can have access to 110-volt plug-in power anywhere close within 150 or 200 feet of your fence, we always recommend going with an electric plug-in charger. And the reason for that is you get so much larger of a charger for the money that you're buying it for. A solar charger is great for way out in the boonies, no access to power anywhere. You kind of have to use solar. But because of technology, solar-powered chargers don't put out as much voltage as much power as a plug-in model. Energizers are also rated by joules.
Okay.
That's an interesting word. Joules is kind of related to how much power, how much oomph pushes the voltage down the fence. The higher the joule rating, the higher or stronger the charger is. And so there's one more level of information about joules. You have a stored joule, and you have an output joule. And stored joule is how much energy, how many joules are stored in the charger, and how much output joule is how much joules actually get out of the charger onto the fence, onto the wire. And the distinction between that are big. Output joule is usually more important than the stored joule.
I'm looking at your website at the chargers, and I am seeing right in your titles, you put like 0.15 joule solar energizer.
That's correct.
And then a 0.25 joule. So the higher the number, the more output.
That's correct. The stronger.
Okay. And price reflects that too, by the way.
It does. As you get higher in joule rating, it takes a lot more technology, you know, bigger parts and pieces inside the charger to put that energy out. Think of how joules is how much force is pushing the voltage down the wire. Most chargers put out between 5,000 and 8,000, 9,000 volts. But how hard that voltage is being pushed out determines how far down the wire it'll, down the field it'll go, and how strong it is at the very end of the fence.
Yeah, I'm just looking, Jennifer, as an example here. I'm looking at the solar versus the plug-in, the AC-powered, and a half a joule solar charger costs three times the amount of the same charger in an electric.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Solar energy has not made it to economical yet, but having had solar chargers at some of our larger farms over the years, they are a real advantage because until the solar chargers came along, you had two choices. Either you couldn't use hot wire in that location because it was three-quarters of a mile away from any power, or you had to use a battery, and the battery went dead at all the wrong times. So those solar chargers can be a real significant help for people who have more remote locations or non-dependable power sources. Question for you, Jason. Early on when solar chargers first came out, and I don't know what you call it, but they had a tendency with the solar chargers, regardless of which one you bought, that they were easily what I would call grounded out. In other words, a little tiny tree branch fell on it, or it got too close to a metal post, and it would no longer shock the animal when it touched it. Has the solar charger technology advanced enough now that they have similar properties to a plug-in charger in that respect?
You're close to your question premise, but the presumption is that the charger itself is the difference. It's actually how much power goes out from the charger. Glenn mentioned that it's a much lower joule rating for the charger, for the solar power. That means there's less oomph behind the voltage going down the fence.
That's
comparable to a plug-in one. So that same stick or limb or whatever falls on the fence, it has less power to push through it, and it grounds out the fence a lot quicker.
So the higher joule rating is just harder to find on a solar unit than it is in a plug-in unit.
That's correct.
Got it. See, I'm learning a whole bunch about this whole charger thing.
Well, now I do also notice that the chargers, not just yours, but chargers in general, are also rated. They also talk about the number of miles of fencing you can charge with it. So I assume that that has to do with the power output as well, and that the solar chargers are not going to do as many miles of fencing as the electric chargers.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And kind of our rule of thumb, and this is going to sound kind of bad, but most electric fence manufacturers of chargers overrate how many miles or how many acres
they do. They fib a little?
All of them do. And so typically what we do is we say whatever they say it does, cut it in half, and that's probably about what it will do.
Well, that's true of cars and anything else you buy, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, our Jeep has never gotten 27
miles
a gallon.
Said, no. No, that's never happened. So, all right, so that's good to know. Now, so as far as the charger, you really need to determine, are you near, if you're not anywhere near a plug-in power source, then the solar charger is the way to go. It's going to do the job for you. Now, the other thing that's a factor with the solar chargers that we had a problem with is we have no sunshine because of all the trees.
Good idea.
That could be a problem.
And we knew that this wasn't going to get sunshine, but 1 or 2 hours a day, maybe, depending on where we put it. So what? How many hours of sunshine a day are you looking at for a solar charger to be effective?
You'd like to have between 5 and 7 hours a day if you can. Not always possible, but the more the better, of course. But direct sunlight for at least 5 hours should be enough to keep the battery charged sufficiently for your fence.
Now, this might sound like a stupid question. It tells you how little I understand about electricity. If the fence is challenged often, lots of little tiny limbs falling on it, Spanish moss, horses touching it, etc. Does that run the battery out faster than if a fence, nothing ever touches it?
Yes, it will.
Yay!
So
that was a wild guess.
Fence, the cleaner your fence is, the better everything will perform.
Well, there you go.
All right, cool. Now, the one other big thing, and I have to confess, my name is Glenn, And I have to confess that when we had electric chargers in the past, we weren't so good about the whole grounding thing. And there have been times in the past when that grounding wire from the charger to the ground was tied to a nail we pushed in the ground. I confess. I'm one of those. So how important is the whole grounding thing?
The grounding is probably the most important part of an electric fence, no matter whose fence you're putting up, no matter if it's a wire fence or a tape fence or a rope fence. Having good grounding is critical to making the whole thing work. The electric fence basically is a big circuit, and the main part of the fence that you don't see is the ground coming from the ground side of the charger into the ground itself. So how a fence works, we should start off with saying that when an animal touches the fence with their nose, the circuit is closed, goes through the animal and into the ground. And on the ground side of the picture, the current flows through the ground, hits the grounding rods inside the ground, and then up to the charger to complete the circuit. And when that happens, the animal receives their shock. Having good, adequate grounding is the most important thing you can have right to make your fence work correctly.
And what, like in our case, Jennifer, we were shocked. It was, you sent us these 3 6-foot grounding rods, and you had this diagram in there about the grounding rods had to be so far from the charger, and they had to be all 10 feet apart, and you know all of these rules about the grounding rods
too. We
didn't
know all that stuff.
We didn't know all of that. Yeah. Well, our nail in the ground. He just didn't send us 3 nails.
Well, and previously, in previous lifetimes, 20-some-odd years ago, when we were installing fence. The charger did not come with a diagram.
No.
This was perfect because it came with a diagram. It told you exactly how to do it to get the best performance from your charger because the charger is the most expensive part of the fence. You want to get performance out of it. And if I'm correct, if you do not ground it properly, you can damage your charger too, can't you?
You can. If you cross wires, don't have it ground properly, it won't perform very well. And you'd be really surprised at some of the situations people call up with and how they incorrectly wired
yeah,
their fence
like,
up.
Like nails in the ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty important, and I was very pleased to see that the charger came with very specific and very clear instructions on how to install it properly and how to make sure it was grounded because you guys want the customers to get good performance from that piece of machinery.
That's correct.
So now, we had 3 grounding rods. Why 3 grounding rods spread out over a 30-foot, really a 30-foot section of the ground? Why is that better?
Actually, if you have 6 or 8 grounding rods, it'd be better even than 3. 3
Holy
is a
crap.
good number to start off with. And depending on your situation, if you're in really dry or sandy soil, having more grounding is better than not. For those who are in damp or moist or really rich soil, they can actually get away with fewer grounding rods because the soil transmits the ground better than sandy soil does. So the more ground you have, the better off it will be. Some places actually have large paddocks. They install grounding rods along the perimeter of the fence as well at different locations further away than the charger.
And how are they hooked back to the charger then?
They run ground wire close to the bottom strand of the fence.
Oh,
so
okay.
They get just a single, it may not be a tape or rope, but maybe just a single wire run all the way around.
Like an insulated wire or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And they get out there, they cut the insulation, tie into it, and connect their 3 more rods that may be 3,000 feet away. And some people actually will alternate the strands of their fence. The top strand will be hot. The next one down will be a ground. The next one down will be hot again. So if an animal touches 2 of them, they get shocked right there. And regardless of how the grounding conditions of the soil are, the animal still gets shocked very, very well right there at the fence.
Well, our horse did, after the first day, decide to try the fence out. And he backed up really fast.
Yeah, rain. He could have been a reining horse when
he
did that.
Yeah,
he
was pretty. Yeah, the ground apparently worked because he hasn't gone near it since.
So that's good. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. You know, we used to I don't know if you were supposed to or if I should even say this, but when we had the electric fence, the wire 25 years ago, what you were taught to do was actually take the horse out, walk him around the perimeter so he could see the, because you couldn't see the wire, and then back him into it. so he actually got shocked by it. You forced him to get shocked by it. And, of course, it doesn't hurt. I mean, you can grab this. You won't die. You're going to know you grabbed it. But
that's right.
And that's how we used to do it. Now, with this tape fencing and with the poly rope, you probably don't need to do that anymore because you have the visual barrier that we didn't have 25 years ago.
That's correct. You can use visual, but the same old tried and true of touching the nose to it once or twice, it'll give the same lesson today as it did 25 years ago.
And they're curious. They want to sniff it. And he actually only touched his whiskers onto it, and it got the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he probably won't challenge your defense again for quite some time.
Yeah, and because we have the strands at the proper height, he reached right out and tried to touch his nose on that top strand because it was at the correct height. And part of your layout is recommending the right height for the type of animal you have, whether you have sheep or goats or horses or cows, and we got the heights right. So it's been very effective that way.
And that's why you don't really need too many strands of fence because your horse is not going to get down and try to crawl under the bottom strand most often. So you don't need to have too many too low to the ground. And also, having strands too low to the ground, if you don't cut the grass very well,
yeah.
grass that touches the wire will actually
ground
begin
it
making
out.
Little short circuits throughout the whole fence.
Yeah, we've all had that problem too, anybody that's had a
Yeah.
Or you're weed whacking and you cut the wire in half. I've done that 2,000 times too. And then it gets all wrapped around the weed whacker and it's a mess.
Glenn's not allowed to weed whack anymore.
Never. We can tell we've lived all of these things.
He causes more destruction than it's worth. Sorry, hire somebody.
Well, there was one other thing we wanted to talk about in this segment. And in the next segment, we're actually going to have a little fun. And we're going to talk about the things people have done and the wacky stories and all of that, too. But in this section, one of the last things is the T-posts have always been a concern of mine. And the concern has been the tops. When you're pounding T-posts into the ground, they get sharp edges on them. It used to be you had to pound them in with a sledgehammer. They didn't have the post drivers that they do now, which make it so much easier, and you don't get the splinters and all that. But the tops are still pointy in many cases. You guys have solved that with the caps that you use.
We make a T-post cap. That's right. Just slide to the top of the T-post, and you can connect either a tape or a rope product to it if you so choose. It protects the animal from scraping themselves on those sharp corners that you make when you pound in the fence.
And I highly recommend if you haven't gone out and spent the $40 to buy a post driver, if you're putting in a lot of T-posts and you're still doing it with a sledgehammer, get the post driver. Go to wherever you can find it. I don't know, Tractor Supply, one of the southern states. They have these post drivers, and I think they're only like $40 or $50. It is worth every penny.
Yes, it is.
So easy to do with the post driver. I couldn't believe it.
And I love the caps because that was a significant concern. And years ago, what we used to do is get used tennis balls from the local high school tennis teams, and we take a saw and cut a slot in the bottom of them and put tennis balls on the tops of the posts just because it was very common for the horses to scratch their chins on those posts.
They cut their necks and on them.
Yeah. So I was thrilled that Field Guardian makes these handy-dandy little squares, and you can use any kind of fence on them, just pop them on there. There's little slots, and they work beautifully.
And a lot of people choose to go to T-posts and those T-post toppers because it's actually less expensive than buying all wood posts
all
for the whole entire field.
And a lot easier to put into it.
A lot easier to install, yeah.
And if you're looking for, like we were, a temporary fencing situations where you might want to pull it out and move it, like if you're cutting a field in half, and you might want to take that out or move it, or, you know, cut it a different way. Next year, you're going to move it around, then you don't want to put wooden posts.
Right. And you can segregate horses temporarily.
Yep.
And they also make post pullers as well as post drivers. So you just get a post puller and you yank them right back up out of the ground for next season. Very common in many parts of the country nowadays that show barns are at a facility for three months at a time. They can divide up their field that way rather than, okay, they rent a facility for 3 months and it's got two paddocks and they really need five. They can go to fieldguardian.com, pick out what they need, and put up a semi-permanent fence and take it with them. You only have one investment, and you can use it wherever you're at in the country.
Well, Jason, this has been great. We're going to come back with the final segment. We're going to have a little fun with the final segment of this fencing series, and we're going to be doing that shortly. This is fieldguardian.com. Thank you so much, Jason, for helping us out with this.
Thanks for having me.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, yes, you are. This is Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. And we are going to be doing really bad ads here very shortly. People submitted all kinds of really bad ads. We picked the best of them this week because we had so many submissions. Everybody wants to win the prize this week, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well. Don't forget that you can find Jennifer's Horse Tip Daily Show. There's almost 700 episodes on there now. And you can find it over at horsetipdaily.com. Short little show she puts out many times a week. And that show is also sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products, who is our title sponsor today. And we thank them for that at kppusa.com. Well, let's get a little lively today, Jamie, with Settledown Cinderella by a horse girl from the West Coast by the name of Patty Hall is her name. And she lives in Oregon, I believe. And now I'm looking for the song, and it's disappeared on me again.
Oh, no.
I swear sometimes this switchboard is, it just doesn't like me. It's cursed. All right.
Do you have it?
Here we go. Yeah, Settle Down Cinderella by Patty Hall.
I was going to sing.
Thank God I had it.
Friday night and the phone won't ring. You let it get you so blue. You're climbing the walls of your pink bedroom. Feels like the world's leaving you behind. But girl, I got good news. There's a storybook ending. It's waiting for you.
Take you away, yeah. Settle down.
settle down, Cinderella. That's Patty Hall. Sorry, I was running around trying to get my cat to stop attacking my dog.
Isn't it supposed to be the other way around?
Yes, but I'm like, Frank, get off Boomer right now. That is enough.
That's funny. Speaking of attacking, you have a story here that's about attacking. What the hell?
Oh, my gosh. Isn't this hilarious? So, you know, over in Europe, fox hunting is banned. You cannot hunt foxes anymore. So a paintballing company believes it has the solution for those that are frustrated. Apparently, they're all participants in this paintballing fox hunt will don traditional hunting attire. There's going to be a bugle, and there's all this stuff going on, like basically a mock fox hunt. There will be, however, a fox. It will be a man dressed up in a fox suit. So they're going to have basically a fox hunt with a dude dressed up in a fox outfit that will be running through the woods, and your job is to hunt down the fox with your paintball guns. This is going to revolutionize. I don't think horses are involved.
Oh.
However, the problem that they're having is it's a 3-hour fox hunt, and I'm using fox hunt, costs €40 per person. You can find out more at ukpaintball.co.uk. The unfortunate part is they are having trouble finding a man to dress up as the fox. So,
yeah, because
not only,
have you ever played paintball? Have you ever done that?
It's awful. No,
it
I've
hurts.
Only seen it, though, the bruises and all that.
Yeah.
And you want somebody to dress up in a costume and run around the woods for 3 hours getting pelted by paintballs. The opportunity here is for somebody who is out of a job. So if you are looking for some work, just contact the UK paintball company, because the first player to land a shot on the target wins. So, you know, you probably won't have to get shot too often, you know, too many times. Just get pelted once, take it for the team, and then the game over. So it sounds easy to me.
That's very funny. I think they should be on horseback, too. I thought they'd run them down too quick, but he'd be getting shot like 100 times.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, before we get to really bad ads, a couple more Preakness things for you, because that is tomorrow, and that gives me one final chance to play
Pegasus. Half horse, half man with beer in hand, and he strolls the infield best.
I promise I won't play it anymore, even after. Now, Glenn posted over on Facebook a picture of Pegasus, and let me tell you what, he is one ugly dude. That is one ugly man.
Really?
The Preakness winners by color. So what's the color of the most Preakness winners, Jamie?
Chestnut.
No. Actually, good guess, though. Chestnut was number two. The bay, of course.
Bay.
Of course, it's the thoroughbreds are bay.
Like Secretariat 1 and Man of War 1, and those are both chestnuts, so that's why I guess that.
65 bay, 41 chestnuts, 15 browns. 4 grays and 2 blacks. I thought black would have been higher up on the list. But I guess it's not. Let me see here. There were in 127 races, there were 2 divisions run in 1918. In other words, there actually were so many horses in 1918 that they had to run 2 divisions. And then they picked the winner with the lowest time. So,
really?
Yeah, there were so many that ran that year. 5 fillies have won the Preakness. Do you know one of them? One of the 5?
I would go with Rachel Alexandra. Hello.
Yeah, year 2009, and then the others were Flo Carlin in 1903, Whimsical in 1906, Rhyme Maiden in 1915, and Nellie Morse in 1924. So since 1924 to 2009, there had not been a filly that had won the Preakness, which I thought was interesting. And then only 2 female jockeys have ever raced the Preakness. The first was Patricia Cooksey back in 1985, who finished 6th on Chihuahua. And Andrea C. Seafeld became the second female jockey, finishing seventh in 1994 while riding Looking. There have been no instances of female trainers in the history of the Preakness Stakes. That can't be true because did Mitra Macho Man run in the Preakness last year or did they skip the Preakness?
Actually, yeah, this is not updated because Kathy Ripo is the trainer and he ran in the Preakness.
That's what I thought. So that would have been the first female then. Here we go. Smarty Jones in 2004 broke the record of the largest margin of victory, winning at 11.5 lengths, breaking the record held by Survivor that had been in place since the first race. Most races in the history of the Preakness Stakes have gone down to the wire, with 6 races being decided by a nose and 11 being decided by a head. I guess because it's a shorter race, a closer race. And that was it. There's my trivia for the Preakness.
Hold on.
Now you're all educated.
Well, I want to say that 9 Preakness winners have sired Preakness winners. Did you go over that one?
No, I did not.
Bold Ruler won the Preakness and sired Secretariat. Bold Venture won the Preakness and sired Assault, who also won. Galleon Fox, who was a Triple Crown winner, also sired Omaha, who was a Triple Crown winner. Man of War sired War Admiral, both winners. Polynesian and Native Dancer. Citation and Fabius. Native Dancer and Kauai King. Secretariat sired Risen Star, who won. And then Summer Squall sired Charismatic. So you got a good shot of throwing a Preakness winner if you are a Preakness winner.
Cool. Very good. Well, everybody enjoy the Preakness tomorrow, but it's time for us to get serious.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's Friday, which means Really Bad Ads Day. We have a terrific prize today for the winner of Really Bad Ads. And let me tell you what, it is an Equity Flexin' Fork. And it is the manure fork that half of all of the hosts on the Horse Radio Network use. We love this thing. And it comes in 2 basket sizes. You can get one that's a little bit bigger if you have shavings. And if you use pellets or a sawdust bedding, then you can get the basket that's a little closer together. Well, we had a question on Facebook yesterday. Somebody asked, with the basket that we use that's a little closer together, would it work for minis because their poops are so small? Yes, it will. I can pick up acorns with this thing. So, yes, it will work for minis. It would be perfect for that. So that's the Equity Flex and Fork. Yeah.
I use the one with the little bit wider tines because, to me, the one with the teeny little tines is a little bit heavier. So I went with the medium-sized tines, and then I just clean the pastures so I don't have to pick up acorns or, you know, I live in the godforsaken desert. There's nothing else out there besides a tumbleweed. So I didn't have to pick up the tiny little thing. So I went with the next grade up because it was a little lighter. So that was my preference as far as the Equity goes at all. So there you go. My 2 cents.
There you go. So that's the Flexin' Fork. And then they have the more advanced version, which is the motorized one. You'll find that on their website as well at equitymfg.com. That's equitymfg.com. So the winner of Really Bad Ads today is going to get to pick between which one they want, and we'll get it sent out to you thanks to Equity. All right, here we go. Really Bad Ads, you're up.
Okay, it is that time. Let's see, I got to scroll all the way to the top here. All right. Yes, I'm so proud of my current state of Arizona. We're going to lead off with one from Prescott, Arizona. Miniature ponies / horses. I have a 3-year-old mare and a 5-year-old stallion. They are both very lovable and rideable. Mare may or may not be pregnant. They must stay together. Please call or text for picture more information. $2,000 for both. may be open to partial trade. You also can take the no-climb horse fence they are in, but you must remove it. You will need a gate, though. Whoops. Do you not have a gate now? Do you have to take the fence down to get the horses out? You know what? You can take the horses, and you can go ahead and take the fence, too. You got to remove it, but ain't no gate. Jesus.
That's kind of funny. That's a first. We haven't had that yet. Robin sent this one in. Thank you, Robin. And, Jamie, I'm going to read this one. I want you to listen carefully and tell me what you think this ad is really for, because I think there's a hidden meaning here.
Okay.
And the title is Female Farm and Ranch Partner Wanted in Little Lake Valley. Looking for a female organic farm and ranch partner with experience with livestock such as goats, poultry, and the likes. Organic farming of fruits and veggies for local farmers market and health food stores and our own farm stand. I'm a non-smoker and light drinker who dose not abuse drugs. And I am looking the same in a partner around the age from 28 to the 40s who has work ethics, drive, and ability to run an organic farm and do farmers markets and outside sales.
Okay. Let me just read between the lines. This is a dude who is a farmer and grows vegetables, and basically he wants a farm labor worker to run the business and to be in charge of doing all the marketing, get out there and sit on the street corner and sell vegetables. Oh, and by the way, come home at night and have sex with me.
Yes, that's exactly what I got out of it, too. Although, if you listen to the ad carefully, we don't know whether this is a male or female who wants this.
That's true, but the fact that he's like, I'm a non-smoker and light drinker, I don't abuse drugs. I mean, I may use drugs, I don't abuse them, though. I don't have a problem.
Oh, I didn't look at it that way.
I don't abuse them. I may touch on them every now and then. But basically, yeah, I'm looking for a chick to run my business, work like a dog, and then make me dinner and sleep with me.
Oh, and by the way, I don't know why the age cutoff was 28, but from 28 to the 40s, my guess is that he has a daughter that's 28 and he doesn't want to go younger than his daughter. That would be my guess.
27. Yeah, 27. His daughter's 27. Baby, she ain't your age. She's a little older. Oh, God.
Dawn Dean sent us. You and Dawn both have a competition going this week. It's a serious competition for the crappiest trailer ad. Oh, my God, you both found them this week.
Yeah, this trailer Dawn has is pretty awesome. I don't even understand what's going on in this trailer. However, I would like to say that I did kick her butt. So we're going to post Dawn's picture of her horse trailer, and then Jennifer, maybe right after that, post the picture of the horse trailer that I have, and you can pick which one is the worst. And I think that voting-wise, I'm going to win. Post that first picture we have listed, because that's pretty epic. It's no contest next to each other. Now, by itself, Dawn's trailer would have been awesome. But along next to mine, which, by the way, my home state of Arizona, thank you very much. there you go. We're going to post this. So on our Facebook page, well, at Horses in the Morning.
And I think with your trailer, Dawn's picture didn't have a description with it. I think with your trailer, let's read the description. Let me describe the trailer quick. This is one of the worst two-horse trailers we've ever seen. It has some of its sides, which look like they're wooden, maybe. Most of the sides aren't there. Both tires are completely shredded. I mean, the rubber is falling off the rims. The jack does not work in the front. There's no paint on this thing, nor do I think there ever was. And so it is just awful. The doors are falling off the back. There's just workable or usable.
There's nothing. Yeah, nothing. There's nothing good about this trailer. Like, the doors are rotting out. There's just, it's just horrible. So, and then
now,
read
the description.
Exactly.
It's a funny
pony trailer. At least it's reasonably priced. Okay. Pony trailer, $100. And this is in Gilbert, Arizona. As you can see, it needs a lot of work, but it doesn't need anything that would be real hard to do. According to who? The frames, axle, finders, and hitch are in real good shape. Since there is a good base to work with, put on new wood and you'll have a really good pony trailer. I do not have a title. It has been tagged, but the last time was around 1966.
And the tag was stolen.
It had
apparently
a tag on it once, just about 1966.
Okay, let me. I'm feeling a little bit inadequate as a man when I read this line. As you can see, it needs a lot of work, but it doesn't need anything that would be real hard to do. I'm sorry, that's going to be hard for me to do.
That's hard for anybody to do. Don't feel bad. This thing is a POS. POS. Just burn it. Why wouldn't you just burn that? Hey, get $100 for it. No. Good luck. I should call the number and see. Oh, you know what? They're in Arizona. I'm going to call the number after the show and see if it's been sold yet. It's listed for like 3 days.
Yeah, do that.
And then, and if it's been sold, I'm going to write that down. Call About Trailer. And if it has been sold, I'm going to ask for their phone number. Be like, what exactly did you see in this item that you were willing to go for it? Oh, gosh, that's going to be funny. Okay. The next one is the Farrier and Equine Services. And this is Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And this was Aubrey Miller. And because it is Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee, we're going to have to rate it like the Farrier meant to be read. The cheapest Farrier service in WNC and Eastern PN. We stand behind all our work with a guarantee. We have 6 years experience as a full-time farrier. We have offered special rates for 5 or more horses. We also do ponies and donkeys, and we'll also work with your horse in a manner that suits the horse currently. We have spots available to get your young horse in shape or even a little fine-tuning on your seasoned veteran horse. Please feel free to call for prices and info. Wow, a whopping 6 years experience as a full-time farrier. Man, call him up. You know what he doesn't have experience with? Punctuation, because there ain't not one period in this whole thing.
That's true. Not a lot of capitals either. Hey, the next one.
Yeah, not a one.
I got to wonder about the next one. And we get these all the time. Rachel Mitchell sent this one in. And we do get these all the time, and I wonder if they work, because you could solve your problem, Jamie. You have to pay to have your manure taken away.
Yes.
If you just run an ad in Craigslist that says, horse manure free, really need to get rid of this manure. It's great for your plants, and they will grow a beautiful mix with this dirt, and it is the best kind of topsoil we can deliver if need. Call now. If you just put an ill-mannered, poorly written ad in Craigslist, you're liable to have people just showing up at your house for piles of manure.
You know, that would be a really good science experiment to see if this actually works. Hey, come and pick up my poop. You know what? I'm even going to leave it baking in the pasture for you. It's spread out over the pasture. Just please feel free to pull in your gator. I'll even let you borrow my gator. You can drive around and pick up all the poop you want and take it home with you. Wow, that's brilliant, Glenn. Brilliant.
I know, and you know, it must work because people keep putting these ads in all over Craigslist, all over the country. So it's got to work.
I'm going to try it, too. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, the next one, too. Rachel sent this one in, and Rachel Knopf sent this one in. Now, this is another one like the one I read earlier. I want you to listen closely to it, and you decide what this person's actually looking for. And the title is, "Wild." This is all in capitals, by the way, and I'm going to step back from the mic a little bit because he's yelling the whole thing. Wild boar problems, $1. I am willing to help keep numbers down on intruding pigs on private land. I have a hunting license and tame. I will help work around property when needed. Have all landscape power tools, chainsaws, log splitter, and dump trailer to help out. I have plenty of references if needed, willing to sign liability paperwork. I am very good at what I do and been doing it my whole life. I make delicious sausage out of the pigs I get. Give me a call.
God. Gross. Now, why in hell would you need a chainsaw and a log splitter to catch pigs?
I got the feeling that this guy not only wanted to catch your pigs, but he wanted to move in. That's the impression I got from this ad.
Yeah, yeah.
But can he sell organic vegetables?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we could get those two together.
You know, basically, this guy just wants to come hunt. I mean, hey, I just want to come hunt on your property. I might shoot your dog by accident, but what the hell? Who cares? I'll take your pig. Awesome. And I'll bring my tools.
Oh, I like
too.
The next one, too. You do the next one. I love this one.
Beth has sent this one in. Beth, thank you very much. This is from Catfish Cove in Deming. Beautiful paint stallion, $700. Wow, a beautiful paint stallion for the bargain price of $700. Jericho is a beautiful paint stallion, turned two this Easter 2012. He is a homo bus. He throws a paint just like him. He is also a racehorse. 16 hands. Will trade for a riding lawnmower or a cow or calf. Parents registered. He can be registered. Please call if interested. He has been saddled and has had a bit in his mouth. I got halfway on top of him. Thank you.
Before he bucked her off.
Exactly. Okay, we've got a beautiful 2-year-old paint stallion that is a homo bus, and he's a racehorse. I'll trade him for a cow. Oh, my God. And seriously, you got halfway on top of him? You're a little too honest, my friend. I got halfway on him, but he threw me off. So
that's a
great
ad. So let me try and interpret. We have a gay paint stallion that's a racehorse that bucks you off. Isn't that what she's saying? Because it's a homo bus?
Only, and she's too lazy to register him, so only $700, he can be yours. Wow.
Samantha sent the next one in. Dapple gray little horse, $1,200 in Casa Grande. We are not sure, but this little girl could be a Mustang, Pasifino, or maybe even a Henny. What's a Henny?
What? That's a half horse, half Ginny, I think. You don't even know if it... Oh, God. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. She came from an auction with no history, obviously. Her last owner was a teen who outgrew her size between 13 and 14 hands. She is very sound and a very nice trot. She is a bit spoiled, needs work on her manners. I bought her this egg. Ooh.
Wait,
I wonder
say
if that had
again.
Anything to do with the Henny. I bought her,
you
then
bought
broke
her?
My leg. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there is the order of events there. I think the Henny had something to do with that. Won't be riding for quite a bit because I need surgery now, too. So, sadly, I have to sell her and get a horse again after I heal up. Yeah, like, never. So we got a Mustang Pasifino, by the way. There's a mix right there. That may be a Henny. And you can have her because she's not safe to ride and a bit spoiled and doesn't have any manners at all. And you might want to offer $200. I think they'd probably take it because she needs to pay for surgery.
Well, and that's the thing is you're asking $1,200, but then you say she came from an auction with no history. But here's a little history on her. Her last owner was a teen who outgrew her. How do you know that? You just said that there was no history.
That's true. That is true.
And then she broke your leg, and you're trying to get rid of her because you got to pay for your surgery. Good luck. The next one is one of our runners up. I mean, this is epic. Glenn Forrester, thank you very much for sending this one in. Beautiful gray gelding. I'm going to back up because it's all capital letters. Country is a 4-year-old saddlebred walking horse gelding. He's very well broke. I've shown him trail, rode him just about. The only thing I haven't done with him is rode him in a parade, but I have rode him around traffic on the side of Bay highways, and it didn't bother him. Country will work to a wagon log, ground plate, or whatever you hook him to. Once you give him the command to step up against thy collar, he won't come off it until you tell him to. He is pretty voice command and has a head full of sense. He has a smooth rack and plenty of style. If you like a horse with lot of front end action, he got it. I trained him myself, so if you need any more info, let me know. He also parks out. Well, hell, what a horse. I done rode him about everywhere but a parade. I rode him on the side of the highway. Why were you riding your horse on the side of a highway? And you know, this is also the same horse you can hook to a wagon log ground sled or whatever.
This is a versatile horse. $2,000 is a bargain for this one.
This is a tortured horse. This is a tortured animal. He is a sourbred walking horse gelding. He's done pull against the collar. He work a wagon load. I brought him on the freeway, and by God, he parks out.
Now, the next one from Robin Donahue. Thank you so much for sending it in, Robin. Is also one of our runners-up. this one relates to the other one, the last one I just read. Registerable Appaloosa, $1,000. 11-year-old mare, 14 hands rideable, sweet girl. She was my son's horse. He broke his leg and will be in a wheelchair for a few months, so he won't be able to ride for a while. I want to get a larger buckskin horse for my husband. We'll trade for trailer, buckskin, hay tractor, or anything else you might have. Yeah, so here we go. We should get these two together. Apparently, the previous one's going to be in a wheelchair for a while, too. They can just hang out together.
Oh, maybe they're dating. We could hook them up. We should have them call each other and be like, hey, this guy broke his leg, and you have a broken leg, too. Y'all should hang out.
Maybe they could trade horses. The other one was a little bit bigger. No, it wasn't. It was 13 to 14 hands. Okay, sorry. We can't pick your husband up with that one. All right, we're trying.
Well, you know, we're trying. I'm trying to think, too, because, you know, neither one of these people said specifically in the ad that the horse did not break their leg.
That's true.
They did not say that. So that leads you to believe that the horse broke their leg. And they want to get a larger buckskin horse, but only a buckskin. So we'll trade this 14-hand 11-year-old mare for a hay tractor, a trailer, or a buckskin. Just take it, please. Dear God. the winner, and tell us what the winner gets.
The winner gets the best, strongest manure fork out there. It's the Equity Flexin fork. You're going to get your choice of the fine tine or the regular tine. So we'll ask you that. You can let Jennifer know which one you want. You can find out about all of their products at equitymfg.com. They have fencing products and all different kinds of things there. So check it out, but that's what the winner is going to get. And the winner is?
The winner is Aubrey Miller. Congratulations, Aubrey.
Woo! Good job, Aubrey.
It's a two-parter, Glenn, because there was an ad that was written, and then there had to be a follow-up ad written. And the honesty of the follow-up is what really pushed this one over the top. First, the first ad, free horse, 12 years old, never ridden. Male, not for children, needs extremely experienced person. Apparently, that begged a lot of phone calls, because anytime you write free horse, some guy is going to call and say, my child is 4 years old and really is a good rider and really is, we're looking for a horse. Well, apparently that's what happened, because this is the updated version. Again, free horse, 12 years old, never ridden, male, not for children, needs extremely experienced person. I have received numerous emails concerning this horse. Now let's see how many I get. Update. The horse cannot be ridden. He will cost you money, 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 dollar sign, dollar sign, dollar sign, yearly in vet care and feed. So dollar signs like exclamation points. He will cost you money in yearly vet care and feed. No. This is not a babysitter for your grandchildren. No, this is not a horse you will ever take to the beach and go galloping down the shoreline with the breeze blowing through your hair. No, this horse will only be a pasture pal and ornament. No, you won't be able to turn this horse into a show jumper. His name is not Snowman. Let the calls begin. Ask Aubrey. Fantastic job, darling. Fantastic. I love it. I if you would have put the number in, I would have called. I would have called and just be like, okay, how many calls did you get now? Awesome. So congratulations to Aubrey Miller. No, this is not a horse you can go galloping down the shoreline with the breeze blowing through your hair. This is not Snowman. Awesome.
you can just hear the calls. You had it nailed. You just know the calls she was getting. Because,
well, I listed that little Hackney pony I had, and I was like, this pony is not broke to ride. It is not broke to drive. It is the cutest thing in the world, but it is not broke. It is not a kid's horse. It needs training. I got so many stinking calls. Well, see, my son is a really good rider, and I'm like, you have to be very small. It is a Hackney pony. He's really good. He trains the horses up really nice. He's 4. I'm like, what? Your 4-year-old did not train horses up really nice. He has no motor skills.
Well, you have to get out of here. You gotta go do a cross-country schooling this weekend. Be safe with that up there in the chilly north.
I know. 32 is the low. It's 109 yesterday, and I'm bringing out horse blankets that I've already been washed and stored because I'm going to need the blankets. That's ridiculous. So it's going to be awesome. Everybody have a great weekend. I'm going to go jump some training level fences. It's going to be awesome. Everybody have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and gel. Oh, I'll be wearing
your helmet.
I will. Don't worry. And my medical armband.
Good. Good. That's good. All right, everybody, you have a terrific weekend. We sort of started a new tradition by accident a couple of weeks ago. We play the week out with Girls and Horses, which is one of Jamie's favorites. So let's do that again this weekend. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Have fun. On
Yeah.
That's a good singer.
Well, she talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls?
Yeah.